The Lord wanted me to talk to you tonight about God's grace is sufficient for you. And I'm going to read out of the Amplified. Those of you that have your Bibles can read along with me. 2 Corinthians 12, I'm going to do verses 9 through 10. Hallelujah. Verse 9. But he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough and always available regardless of the situation, regardless of ISIS, regardless of fear of the stock market crash, regardless of a doctor's diagnosis in your life, regardless of anything that has been challenging you. Hallelujah. It doesn't say that in my Bible, but that's what God is saying to you through the Bible. Amen. For my power, God's power, is perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me. So I am well pleased, as Pastor Sarah was talking about being well in the Lord and well with my soul, regardless of our challenges, the storms of life, regardless at the loss or the dread of the future. So I am well pleased with weaknesses, with problems, with insults, with distresses, with persecution, and with difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am strong, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's strength. That is grace sufficient for each of us. That when we cannot, he can and is able and will. And what you've seen him do in the past, he's going to do again. And every challenge that comes up against you, it's not for us to fret. It's not for us to get worried or dismayed. It's another opportunity to see God working in your life again for another testimony. You can't have a testimony if you don't go through a test. Amen?
Amen.
So we have testimonies, and what you're challenged with now is another one, because he's taking you from glory to glory, and what he has done greatly before is nothing compared to what he's going to do now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you believe, all things are possible to them who believe. There is nothing impossible to God. You've seen him do it before, and he'll do it again. If there is no way, he'll make a way. And it's not my way or your way. It's not the highway. It's God's way. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the definition of grace, you can put it in a simple acronym that I learned. G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ paid for it, and we receive it. All that he has. You know, sometimes people look at their life and say, it's just too tough. I don't know if I could keep going. Have you ever been there or heard of someone that has been discouraged and downtrodden? It's like, I've done everything I know to do and still I don't see any results yet. And so that person can be attacked by the enemy that comes in through that discouragement and that hopelessness. And I'm here to remind you that the devil is a liar, because God said he's already done it. And Jesus, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Do you know what he said to his heavenly father? Is there any way, this is Pastor Karen's summary version, that you could just cancel this assignment? Is there any way it could be easier? Is there a plan B so I don't have to go to the cross? He was so challenged to be stressed out that he was sweating with the anticipation of the agony that no man has ever endured in the history of the universe. There were many people that were crucified because that was the Romans' way of killing people and making sure that people saw the terror, and it terrorized the people and it made them submit out of fear. Actually, they brought in Pontius Pilate, who wasn't even Roman, but he was cruel and he was evil, and this was his idea. And it worked. Just the mere fact of seeing all the dead bodies and rows of crucifixes down the road for miles and miles and miles made people not break the law. So it wasn't the crucifix, because death is terrible no matter how it comes. The fear of death is terrible no matter how it comes. But one man stood in the gap, Jesus, and he knew that he would have to take on the suffering of mankind. Can you imagine the pain that you've ever gone through, that it was so unbearable that you needed to go get painkillers? And if those painkillers didn't work, you were in the hospital, they gave you the strongest prescription, morphine or whatever else is out there that's stronger than that, because it was so unbearable. And can you imagine 100 million times that pain level, because he took the pain of each person that has ever lived, that is living and ever will live? I think that's unfathomable. He took the sin and all the consequences of that sin upon himself. He was bruised. He was chastised. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was persecuted. He was separated from his heavenly father. He left his deity to become flesh. Can you imagine deciding to change your character for the love of somebody? Becoming another creature? Can you imagine giving up his kingship and being the captain of the Lord of hosts, the commander in chief of all the armies of heaven? And he could have called them to save him, but he didn't, because he knew he had to fulfill the work at the cross and redeem us from death, hell, and the grave and take back those keys. And that is God's grace sufficient for him to go through that. God's grace is sufficient for you and me to go through whatever we're struggling with, no matter what it is. He's paid the price. He did it. And he's going to say to you, if I did it, you can do it. And he's rooting us on and he's saying, don't give up. My grace is sufficient for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the usual definition of grace is unmerited favor. It means the grace of God, like when we see in Luke 2:40, the grace of God was upon. Colossians 4:6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. And oh, how I have repented of every time I've spoken something that was not gracious. Because I like to be treated with graciousness. And so I have to ask God to help me be more gracious in return. And I used to feel guilty and condemned if I blew it and, you know, was cranky, got up on the wrong side of the bed and snapped at somebody, and then I would feel bad. And the Lord says, did you repent? Yes. You confessed your sins? Yes. Did you receive my forgiveness? Because if you did, it's like I remember it no more. Why are you remembering anything you've done in the past that you blew? You blew it? But God says, once you have received his forgiveness for that thing, it's as if it never existed. You're justified by Jesus Christ. Pastor Joshua says it's just as if you never sinned. I look at it like when you look at a blackboard and you see the chalk or the marker or whatever, it's the eraser of God, just as if it never happened. But when the accuser of the brethren points his finger and says, aha, you can't receive more blessings from God because you did such and such. Or how dare you think you're going to get healed because yesterday you sinned. Or how about this one? You'll never be good enough. You ever heard that one? How about this one? You'll never make anything of yourself. That you have to do a lot of stuff to please God in order to receive his benefits. You ever heard that one? How about you've got to pray day and night or you'll never get your healing? It was paid for. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to be punished for it. And I love this one. Well, God is teaching me something, and that's why I got sick, is what the person said. I would never say that. And so Kenneth Hagin had gone to the hospital at the request of a family to pray for somebody in a hospital bed. And he said, do you believe that Jesus will heal you? He says, well, God is teaching me something. He said, okay, then, and turned around and was leaving. And he said, wait, aren't you going to pray for me? He said, what? And interrupt God's lesson for you? What's he teaching you? How to die quicker? You see, that doesn't sound like it makes sense, but a lot of people get those lying thoughts put in their head by the devil. And by the renewing of their mind through the washing of the water of the word, we all get our mindset changed to believe the truth. That would you take a swab of bubonic plague and put it on your kid because they went and touched the stove when you told them not to, to punish them? That would be horrible. Why would God put sickness on somebody because of sin or missing the mark or disobedience? His grace is sufficient for us. He wants us to learn and grow, not through punishment, but through knowledge. Hosea 4:6, my people perish for the what? Lack of knowledge, lack of education. Lack of learning what the truth says in our manual of life is the Bible. And if I don't know what it says in this Bible, I'm not going to be able to partake of what God has given to us by his grace so that we could read the word of God. We still live in a nation where we have the privilege to exercise our faith. We can still pick up the Bible and read it anytime we want to. So if you've got dust on your Bible, I recommend that you get it off the shelf and start reading it before they take it away from you and it becomes illegal. Take advantage of it now, because in the end times that is coming soon, we will not be able to have those Bibles unless they're hidden. They'll be contraband. Why? The first thing that the devil does when there is a takeover is he takes away the truth so the people will not know it any longer. And then they start putting their campaign of brainwashing into their mind, usually through the kids. And then those very kids in Nazi Germany learned their campaign and they turned in their own parents to the police to be killed. Truth was taken from them. They burnt all the books, especially the Bibles. The smart ones hid them. Do you know that in communist Russia, the Soviet Union, there were people that smuggled Bibles in. And they didn't have enough for all the people that came. So they tore out each page of the Bible and gave one page to each person. It didn't matter if it was the genealogy of so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so is the father of so-and-so. It was a part of the Bible and they cherished it. Then they would get together and read their page to each other. Holy Bible. It was holy. It was life. How many things do we take for granted in our nation? Because to prepare during the end times is too late. You got to be ready now. Start getting ready so that that word is in your heart and you know it. And it will come up whenever you need it to help you. Grace is sufficient for us. But we have to do our part. When God extends it, we must receive it and do something with it. Amen? It doesn't mean do nothing and let God do it all. Pastor Joshua says, we have a partnership with God. And most people don't understand that partnership. See, a covenant is a contract. The old covenant is still good. People say, do away with it. Why did God put it in the Holy Bible if it wasn't necessary? Because the New Testament is another covenant or contract that fulfilled the old. So if you don't know the terms and conditions of that contract, you don't know the benefits you're receiving. Just because in the new part of that contract, it's stipulating that you have received it, but you want to know the details of it, go back to the Old Testament. Do you see what I'm saying? We can't do away with the word of God, but we know that Jesus fulfilled it and Jesus gave us the opportunity to become new creatures. Jesus made a way where there was no way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life so that we could have life and life more abundantly. So we have to do our part and he does his part. What's our part? Well, salvation is for you. Okay, then I'm saved, a sinner would say. Have you ever repented of not receiving Jesus as Savior? No, but he says, I'm saved. Well, did you do your part? You have to say, Jesus, I repent. I confess my sin, according to 1 John 1:9, that I did not receive you as Lord and Savior. Jesus, I believe that you died at the cross and redeemed me to make another way so I can get back to my Heavenly Father and become a co-heir with Christ Jesus. I receive you as my Lord, my Savior, my King. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the works of Satan in my life because I now serve you as Jesus, my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your spirit. Give me all your gifts. Help me to walk in your fruit. Grow me. Show me great and mighty things I know not and answer me. I have to do my part to receive it, to ask it. It's not just going to happen automatically, but a way was made. But now I have to go do something about it. God made a way for you to be healed, but you got to receive that healing and know how. God made a way so you don't have to have lack or want of any good thing because he says you have everything in the universe is yours because you have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. So when he died, his last will and testament was given to you and to you and to you and to you. He's the only God that has been raised from the dead. He's the only God that is alive and man doesn't have to make an image of with his hands. He is our creator. And he is the only miracle-making God. Everything else is imitation. And his grace is not an imitation. His grace is extended to us because of love. We deserve death. But we don't have to be on death row because of the sins and the punishment that we should have received because he took it for us. We are then pardoned. Forever. How many of us think about that and just thank him that we don't have to pay that price? And when we look at the difficulties in our life, we should say, Lord, we could do it. Because where I am weak, you are strong. Your grace makes me able when I'm not able. Your grace is sufficient for me in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Grace. In 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 12, it says the Spirit searched out the deep things of the mind of God. God wants you to seek Him out, to know what your purpose and destiny is on this earth if you don't already know. Galatians 1, 11 through 12, the Spirit reveals these things, and they did that to the inspired writers. He'll reveal everything to you. Ephesians 3, 1 through 5, you can have a clear understanding of the mystery of Christ, the redemption of mankind in accordance with the eternal purpose of God. Titus 2, 11 through 12, God's word revealed through His Son. These are examples of why God wants us to have grace, is to receive His salvation, to receive then the revelation of why we're saved, not to just be saved and to frolic along and say, oh, now God's going to give me a bunch of good stuff. No, we're here to go get other people saved. I remember that Keith Green, he was a Christian musician. And when I was in high school, I got the privilege of going to a concert before he went to heaven. And he just was on the grand piano, didn't need a big band or whatever. The anointing was on him. And he prayed about every song that he received, and he got it inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he was praying and got this vision. I never forgot it because it was very instrumental in me serving God. He was encouraging all of us young people. He said, there was the ship full of people and it went down in a storm. And many people didn't have life vests, and a lot of people were going under the water and gulping the water, and the waves were tossing them to and fro, and some of them were going down. And then people that had life vests grabbed them, and some of them were in a lifeboat and were able to put them into the little life rafts, and some of them made it to shore. And they could hardly get out the boat because they were so exhausted and almost near death. And they found out that they landed at a beach resort. And the waiters came up and said, hey, do you want me to bring you some food and drink? And they're saying, yes, please. Okay, why don't you sit in this lounge chair and I'll bring you something. And all the people were so happy they were saved. And then they started eating and drinking and started laughing and were so happy that they were saved. And just a little out to sea, the ship was still sinking, and there are many saying, help me, help me. And it was like they were ignoring them because now they were safe, and they're like, oh, we're saved now, and we're going to serve God and thank Him for what He did for us, but let's just have a service and start, you know, playing our guitars and singing to the Lord. And they never went back to save the others, and they were lost at sea. Do I want to be saved just so I could receive the benefits? Or do I want to see that God's grace is sufficient, not just for me, but for others who don't even know Him? And that what I received, I am going to give and extend that grace. And I'm not going to go beat them up over the head with my words of, hey, you sinner, you know, you're smoking pot and you're getting drunk and you're carousing and this and that and you're going to hell. That's not really gracious, is it? If we beat people up over the head with the word of God, it's just like a hammer. And then they don't want to receive a God that seems ugly and someone that's just going to make them feel bad. Each one of us, if we can remember how we got saved, I bet you that's something you'll never, ever forget. And if you aren't sure the exact date, you are sure of when you really committed to Him. Was it because somebody beat you up and forced you to do it? If it's true salvation, the answer is going to be no. There are a lot of people in the end times that will be forced to choose Jesus Christ or anything else they're wanting to shove down your throat. That's when you're going to see the grace be more sufficient for you. Because if you turn, you'll burn. A Christian can give up his salvation. No one can take it from you. We have to choose which Lord we're going to serve. We choose which master we will serve and remain with, even if it's unto death. Jesus declined the offers of the devil for the riches of the world, the fame, the fortune. He stayed faithful to his heavenly Father. It's not easy. And some people have been martyred, and there will be other martyrs. But those who learn what we're being taught here at ABC, you don't have to die if you learn the Word of God, how to live and remain and usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is not an easy task, but we can do it. For God's grace makes us able when it can be hard and thinking unable. He will sustain us. He will protect us. He will lead us. He will guide us. I am not afraid of anything this world brings to me, and neither should any Christian that truly knows their Lord and Savior. Because we are growing to the point of hearing his voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd, so that he leads us and guides us. There are many Christians that died in the Twin Towers on 9/11 because they loved God, but they didn't grow to the point of hearing his voice that well. Then you have testimonies of Christians who God told them not to go to work that day, or their wife interceded and heard that the husband shouldn't go to work that day. I know of somebody that was in the building on one of the high floors. I know her cousin. I don't know her, but the cousin told me that she got a testimony from her cousin who was on the toilet in the ladies' room when there was a boom in the high tower. I think she was on the 12th floor or something like that. And she knew the voice of God. And, you know, we're all humans, so she didn't hear not to go, but she did hear. And God said to her, get out, in her thoughts, it wasn't audible, get out of the building now. She says, okay, I'm going to wash my hands, Lord. He said, don't wash your hands. Get out of the building now. Now, for many women, that would be a hard choice. Wash hands, get out of the building. Wash hands, get out of the building. But to obey is better than what? Sacrifice. It was grace. God's grace. Even though she, for some reason, was too busy and didn't hear don't go before she left the house, there was still grace. But when she was in the building, she got down in the parking lot. She drove out. She didn't know why. She hurried up. And there's a ferry. I don't understand New York, but she got on some ferry. And if she washed her hands and delayed, she couldn't have gotten out because there was so much traffic trying to get out of the building. People were scared when they had that boom and they were trying to get out. She would have been stuck in the parking lot in a traffic jam. And when she looked, she thanked God. God's grace was sufficient for her. I want to be the ones that hear before I leave the house. But if I miss it, I want to be the one that has still that grace to hear in the midst of a crisis, get out. They're good people, but good people doesn't mean they've learned the skill to grow. Doesn't make us better Christians. It's just that we are drawing closer to him, so he draws closer to us. We're educating ourselves how to know the voice of God better. How to know and recognize sin so that we remove sin, because sin blocks us from hearing God. But grace, grace. If you're saying, I have so much to do, I don't know if I can get it done in one day. Do the best you can do and God will take you the rest of the way. You take a step towards him and he takes a step towards you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You know, when you read in Genesis 5 through 8, it's about Noah. And God was repenting and regretting that he created mankind. So he was explaining to Noah he wanted to wipe them out and start over. And God extended his grace to Noah. So we're going to read that real quick. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to go to Genesis 6. And we're going to start in verse 5 and go to verse 6. Hallelujah. Genesis 6, verse 5. Oh, we'll go to 8. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. He knew then it was going to just get worse. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of the earth, and both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, and it repenteth me that I have made them. What does verse 8 say? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And who was saved? Noah and his family. You don't think God's looking at the earth now, as Pastor Joshua has told us? God gave Noah an ark to save him and his family because he found grace. If you want to find out more about God's grace, one of the best teachings of grace, get Pastor Joshua's series on grace. God extended so much grace to Noah that we would not even be here without Noah. He wiped out all the humans. You don't think he's looking on the earth right now and repenting he made mankind again? We got to build our own spiritual ark, Pastor Joshua says, by hearing the voice of God, but finding grace in the eyes and sight of God so that we are not living in iniquity and sin. Grace is what God wants us to have in his sight. Amen? Now, Exodus 32. I wasn't going to read all this, but God's making me read this whole thing to you. So, okay, let's read it together, okay? Exodus 32, and we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to go all the way to 33:23. So, Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up! Make us gods which shall go before us. Now, how powerful is a God that has to be made? For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. They were saying, you know, we haven't seen Moses. Maybe he's not coming back. That's another interpretation, right? So let's do our own thing. We need a God, so we'll make our own. Verse 2, and Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and of your daughters and bring them to me. And I'm thinking, Aaron, high priest, you serve God. You're the brother of Moses, the leader of God. Why would you make an idol out of gold for the people? Fear of offending them. Man-pleasing, and peer pressure, and he was probably afraid they'd kill him. Fear. If that ever creeps up in your life, no, it's not of God. Do the opposite. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Lying spirits, false gods. They weren't even created. How could they have helped them out of Egypt? Hello? Okay, so verse 5. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Can you imagine? They are justifying their sin, saying they're going to honor the Lord with this golden calf idol. Spirit of deception fell on them because they opened themselves up to it. Verse 6, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. A lot of people go to church and play church. A lot of people say, because I go to church every week, then I'm safe. No, it doesn't say that. Are there gods in our life that take the place of the one true God? Somebody who works so hard and has so much on their plate, project after project, your God is your work. Because how much time are you spending with God? The devil doesn't care how much you do for God, as long as you don't spend time with God, because if you do, you will hear instructions and be guided by him. So the devil tries to keep us away from spending time with God so that his grace would not be upon us and received to a greater degree, because we all have grace extended to us, but then we would not be pleasing to him in our ways. We will be unaware of the sins happening in our life. But when we come to God and we draw close to him, he will show us mighty things that we know not and things that we need to change in a gracious way. He will show us things that are roadblocking us. But is that intimate relationship he needs us to have with him. And so verse 7, the Lord said unto Moses, go and get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves, and they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I've commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed it thereunto. And these be their gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Gold and money became the god. When we work so hard to make ends meet, that is an idol. When we do not take a Sabbath so we could rest and worship God, we are not allowing his grace to work for us so that we would be sustained, because we think, oh, we got to get this done and that done and this done. No, he said, rest one day, take a Sabbath, come worship me, come spend more time with me, be at rest so that your cell phone, when it is at rest, plugged into the charger, when it is at 2% power and gets plugged in, it gets up to 100%. You can't just keep unplugging it and think it's going to get to 100%, you know, impatience. Ah, it's been 5 minutes. I'll unplug that phone. I'm going to make another call. I'm making a call and it went down from 2% to 0% because it's trying to extend its grace, but there's none there because I didn't plug in to fill myself up. So I have 5 minutes with God. That's not enough. I think I'm going to get recharged for the whole day so I can hear the voice of God and not make mistakes and not be in the wrong place at the wrong time and be in the right place at the right time. If there's still sickness and disease and symptoms of infirmity and you haven't received the fullness of it yet, you think just spending a couple of minutes in your Bible is going to help you? We have to get to the point that we have to put everything aside and make God first in our life. Seek ye first the what? The business of life, the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he will give you everything you need. It shall be added unto you. He didn't say it will just be okay. What's added mean? I'm not a math person, but I know 2 + 2 = 4. That's an addition. So what I have now plus something else is better than what I had. If I seek first the kingdom of God. But if there is lack in any area, if there are unanswered prayers in any area, you didn't get the plus yet. But he's extending that grace. He wants you to have it. But we've got to draw close to him so he draws close to us and we get the addition. And guess what comes after that? Multiplication. Blessings. Amen. All right, where are we at? Okay, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked, stubborn people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them or destroy them, and I will make of thee a great nation. So Moses, I'm going to wipe them out in other words, he's paraphrasing. I wiped out the whole earth, and I took Noah, I saved him and started over. I'm going to wipe these people out and start over. Okay? So he's looking at outer earth in 2015. I'm going to wipe you out and start over. Uh-oh. You know, I met a man who's Jewish, and his last name is Noe. And he said, you know, in Hebrew, that means descendant of Noah. I'm a direct descendant of Noah. He said, isn't that great? And Pastor James, my husband, says, yeah, nice to meet you, brother. He goes, what are you talking about? He said, listen, Noah and his family were the only humans left. So all descendants are descendants of Noah. So that means you're my brother. He said, I worship the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, just like you. But I know Jesus, our Messiah, and we ministered salvation to that man. That man did not really receive that, but at least now he knows we're still descendants of Noah too. And we're still praying for him, okay? Hallelujah. Okay, so now here's what Moses said, verse 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. The translation evil really means the punishment of the people. God's not evil. Verse 13, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. So in other words, Moses was saying, if you wipe out these people that you showed the Egyptians and the whole world that you saved, they're going to think, what kind of God are you? Okay, so we can converse with God. 14. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do upon his people, or the punishment. And verse 15, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand, and the tables were written on both their sides, and on one side and the other day they were written. And it took him a long time, 40 days and nights he was up there. Verse 16, and the tables were the work of God, and the writing was of the writing of God engraven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh or near unto the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, meaning they were dancing and worshiping that golden calf. And Moses' anger waxed hot. So he's telling God not to get ticked off. And here he goes and sees it. And then he gets mad. And he casts the tablets down out of his hands and break them beneath the mount. So now all this 40 days of work was like gone. And verse 20, and he took the calf which they had meant and burnt it in the fire and ground it into a powder. That's pretty mad. It takes a lot of strength to do that. And strode it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. They had to drink the gold dust as punishment. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of the Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. In other words, he was saying, it wasn't me. Verse 23, for they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. In other words, they're saying, we didn't know what happened to you, man. So like, they forced me to do this. That's like modern day English. Verse 24, and I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Just all of a sudden, this calf just came out. Verse 25, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies, punishment, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Those are the ones that didn't want to follow God. Sin was so great in them that you can't have sin in the camp anymore. It will poison the rest of the ones that want to turn and were repented and wanted God to forgive them. But that's how God loved them enough to allow them to repent and not wipe them out. Verse 29, for Moses had said, Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, and every man upon his son and upon his brethren, he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. What is grace? That we are not supposed to die, but if we repent and consecrate ourselves, we shall receive blessing instead of death. Instead of eternal death, we got eternal life. Hallelujah. And verse 30, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up to the Lord peradventure. I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, if our sin isn't forgiven, if we don't repent to receive the forgiveness of sin, the penalty is death. But when we receive Jesus, that death, hell, and the grave was done away with so that we have eternal life. But now that we're living in this physical flesh, we have to continue repenting of daily sin so we don't get the consequences of that. Okay? And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Verse 32, Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin and not blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. He put himself and say, If you don't forgive their sin, then I'm going to stand in their stead. That is a type of Jesus who put himself in our place. Great love had Moses for these people. He could have said, Okay, get rid of them. I'll start with new people. I don't like those complainers anyway. You know how many managers and CEOs would say, Hey, let's fire all the complainers. Get rid of everybody in the company and start over. Then guess what? They'd have to get rid of the next complainers. But you have to give people a chance to repent and turn and learn and grow. That's extending grace to those that want forgiveness and want to learn and want to change. So if I received it and you received it from God, that we didn't have to pay for our sin and he gave us grace so that we could repent, we could turn from our sin, we could learn his new ways and give us time to learn because you don't learn it the first time. I remember somebody said, Hey, my husband forgave me because I really blew it and did this and that. And the next day I did it again. He said, What? I thought you changed your ways. Forget it. I'm divorcing you. You burnt the eggs again. Divorce. Boy, there'd be a lot more divorces in this country if there was a lot of egg burners and didn't get any grace to learn how to do it better, right? I got that grace. You got that grace to have time to change. As long as my heart said, I want to change, then we need to give each other grace. And why are we critically judging people instead of praying for them and said, Lord God, I'm praying for my brother and my sister who can't make eggs worth anything. And those eggs are so rubbery and so gross. And you said, make a burnt offering in the morning to you and a sacrifice, but I didn't know it had to be my burnt eggs. So Lord, help them to be a better egg maker. And every time they make eggs, they're going to get better and better. So I'm going to allow them to keep making eggs and they're going to get better and better. And I'm going to say, you're a good egg maker in the name of Jesus. Because what Pastor Sarah was teaching at 6 o'clock service was, call those things that are not as though they were. Pastor Joshua gave that example of a mother who kept saying, my son is a pastor in the name of Jesus, but he was a drug dealer at the time, but she kept saying it and he eventually became it. And although he was supposed to die like everybody else in a terrible multi-auto car accident, he was the only one that survived. And when the demon was trying to take his life, the angel of God protecting him because Someone had called those things that are not as though they were for him. Someone has prayed for you in order for you to get saved. If you're not saved yet, somebody has been praying for you. And that is why you're still sitting or listening to this message, because you're not dead yet, because someone was praying for you. So the demons have been held off and you've been protected because of God's grace. And so we are going to confess over ourselves and other people that God's grace is sufficient for me. And when I see somebody that has blown it and has need, I'm going to say, God's grace is sufficient for sister so-and-so, for brother so-and-so, for the evil manager at so-and-so place. In the name of Jesus, I pray that he is saved in the name of Jesus, even though in the natural he's not yet. I'm going to declare it over him. I'm going to declare that even though so-and-so has a problem with this and that, I'm going to declare the word of God, which says, no, they don't have a problem with that, that God has provided them and God has made them to be the head and not the tail. God has helped them to be prosperous and not in poverty. God has helped them so that they're not a gossip, but they are edifiers giving gracious words to the hearers. God has made them to be in the likeness of Jesus Christ, and God has made me to do the same in Jesus' name. Amen. And that is how we apply grace and use grace in our lives, not just sit there and say, well, God's going to do it for us. There's grace. God already did it for us. A partnership means he's done his part. We got to do our part, and we align with him and his word, and we receive the full benefits. Grace, the Greek definition of that word is charis or charis, charisma, charis, charisma. What does that mean? Oh, that guy is so charismatic. Whenever he speaks, so many people want to come hear him. He has an attractiveness of his spirit because of the righteousness of God and grace that's upon him. You want to hear that message from that person. It means unmerited favor. It means that when we didn't deserve it, we got it, God's favor anyway. It means a blessing. It means mercy. It means generosity. It means sweetness, favor, goodwill, loving kindness. It's like the fruit of the Spirit, love, kindness, and goodness. When we are so upset with somebody because they blew it, instead of giving them a piece of your mind, give them a piece of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That love of God, the loving kindness, the goodness of God, even though they don't deserve it because they were really nasty to you and they were wrong and you were right. Let's turn around and be like God and extend grace to them. So then blessings will come to you and you will not be blocked to receive your own blessings. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 1, and I'm going to use the Amplified, so you could still read along with me in your version. I want you to see the Word of God is true in your own Bible. And if you don't have this marked, it's a good thing to mark. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4, and we're going to go to verse 9, and I'm going to read it in the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 4. I thank my God. Remember, we have to give thanksgiving. I thank my God always for you, because what happens after that? Because of the grace of God, when you're thanking God, grace comes, which was given to you in Christ Jesus, so that in everything you were exceedingly enriched in him, in all speech, empowered by the spiritual gifts, and in all knowledge with insight into the faith. And in this way, our testimony about Christ was confirmed and established in you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift which comes from the Holy Spirit, as you eagerly wait with confident trust for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. Isn't that someone that's preparing for the second coming of the Messiah? To be in thankfulness and receive his grace? Let's continue. Verse 8, and he will also confirm you to the end, keeping you what? Strong and free of any accusation, so that you will be blameless. That's what blameless means. Keeping you strong and free of accusation. means the devil cannot point his finger at you when you're sin free. Blameless and beyond reproach in the day of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, God is faithful. He is reliable, trustworthy, and ever true to his promise. He can be depended on, and through him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm going to pray this over you. So Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank my God always for each person that's hearing my voice right now through this teaching, because of the grace of God which is upon each of you in Christ Jesus, so that in everything you are exceedingly enriched in him. Your speech is empowered by the spiritual gifts and in all knowledge with the insight into the faith. And in this way, your testimony about Jesus Christ is and will continue to be confirmed and established in you, so that you are not lacking and will never lack any spiritual gift, which comes from the Holy Spirit, as you eagerly wait with confident trust, not in fear, regardless of what's happening around you, for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. For you are being used by the Holy Spirit to ready and prepare the kingdom of God and be used by God to help others so that they could be ready and prepare, and that you will be building your ark and be used to save people in your life, in your family, and people you come into contact with in the name of Jesus. And God will also confirm you to the end, keeping you strong and free of any accusation, so that you will and are blameless and beyond reproach in the day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God will find you faithful, that you will not succumb to the enemy. You will not give up your faith regardless of what comes your way. You will not turn away from your Lord Jesus Christ. You will stand strong to the end, and that you are reliable and trustworthy and ever true to his promise. And God will be able to depend on you. And through him, God, you have been called in the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, because of the extra grace that he extends to each of us, and recognizing the grace that he has given to each one, and being able to turn around and be gracious to those in our lives. In Jesus' name, God's grace is sufficient for you and me. Amen.